Acts chapter 19. And this is where Paul came to the city of Ephesus and found certain disciples and asked them a very scriptural question. Acts chapter 19, and we'll look at it again. Verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said to him, "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said to them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Now, here is an instance where believers in the New Testament were born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul knew that they were filled with the Holy Spirit because these people spoke with tongues and prophesied. Of course, we began last week with Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. There were 120 people in an upper room in Jerusalem. They were all with one accord, and they had been praying and been there for days, and the Spirit of God fell on them. And the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And of course, this spilled out into the street. Other people who were in Jerusalem at the time for the Feast of Harvest, that's what Pentecost represents, were astonished at what they saw, because each one of them heard these 120 people speaking in the language they were born in. And so not only was there a miracle, if you will, on the lips and the tongues of those who were speaking, but a miracle took place on the ears of those who were hearing, because they all heard them all speaking in their native language. If you were from Greece, you heard them speaking Greek. If you were Arab, you heard them speaking Arabic. It was an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit had done. So there is an experience subsequent or coming after salvation called the baptism in or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is a biblical truth that is neglected by many out of ignorance, but that's why I'm here to teach you what the Word says. Amen? Amen. And of course, we looked at Acts chapter 8, where it says, "Then Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. Now these people heard Philip preach, received the word of God, and were baptized. Were they saved? Were they born again? Well, Jesus thought so. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark chapter 16. But when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John. And when Peter and John came down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was a former sorcerer there named Simon who had done all these crazy things, and people thought Simon was the man who knew God. When Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was imparted by the laying on of hands, he wanted to purchase the ability to do that. And Peter straightened him out and said, "You have no part nor lot in this matter." Well, you might say, "Pastor Young, well, the Bible does not say they spoke with tongues in Acts chapter 8. And I would agree with you, but it doesn't say they didn't. In fact, the phrase, "You have no part nor lot in this matter," the word "matter" is the Greek word logos, which means utterance or something said. So Simon saw some evidence that these people had received the Holy Spirit. And I contend that that evidence was the same evidence that we see all throughout the Scripture. Now, having said that, we prayed for people last week, and several people were filled with the Holy Spirit. But here's something that we need to understand, because if you're like me, I grew up in a church setting that was ignorant about many, many things. I mean, there were entire chapters of the Bible that my churches just avoided. And I don't know why. Perhaps it was because the minister didn't feel confident in sharing the information. Perhaps it was because the minister didn't believe it. Or perhaps the minister thought, as many do today, that, well, that was for a bygone era, but it's not for us today. Well, we have to be mature in our understanding of biblical principles.
Amen.
The Bible says it a little differently. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, in our understanding, we need to be men, mature. But when it comes to malice, we need to be like children. See, two kids can get in a fight in the morning, and in the afternoon, they're playing like nothing happened. That's what little kids do. You with me? Well, we need to be like that when it comes to malice and offenses and things like that.
Amen.
But when it comes to understanding biblical truth, we don't need to be children. We need to be mature. We need to be men. So God's anointed me to teach. And one thing I want to clarify, last week, when I began the lesson last week, I said I do more preaching than teaching. I need to reverse that. I do more teaching than preaching. All right? If you're looking for a great preacher who have you running and shouting and hanging from the chandeliers, I'm not your guy. But if you want to understand biblical truth, you come to the right place.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So let's see what the Bible has to say about the subject. Because if you're like me, I grew up in a setting that was ignorant about a lot of things and spiritual truth, and the Holy Ghost was one of those things that I just didn't understand. Nobody ever taught me about it. And so I remember the first time I came to Erie, somebody invited me to their church. My great aunt had taken me to the local Baptist church, which had a great reputation. And I was comfortable there. Everything was cool. And then some radical woman invited me to her Pentecostal church. And she stuck her head in my car and asked me a bold question. She said, "Are you saved?" I looked at her, I said, "Yeah, I'm saved. I got saved at 12 at a Billy Graham. I know I was saved." She said, "You sure you saved?" Now I'm starting to get offended. "Yeah, I'm sure I'm saved." She said, "Well, why don't you come to church tonight?" And I thought, "I ain't scared to come to your church. I'm coming." And I did. Everything was cool. Until the minister who was preaching let out a burst in a language I didn't understand. And it hit me like, whoa, what was that? He was speaking with tongues. I'd never heard that before. I'm 21 years old. I'd never heard that before. Scared me. And I thought, these people are crazy. I'm getting out of here. And I started looking at the door. You know how you are when you're uncomfortable at a place? You start eyeing the exit. All right, it's not going to take me long to get out of here. And I was purposed in my heart. I'm hitting that door. I ain't never coming back in here. These people are nuts. Because I had heard that tongues was not for us today. Now, I didn't read that in the Bible. I was ignorant about the Bible, but I'd heard it. Based on reliable information. My mama told me that somebody said something that they heard over at the Nazarene church. So I got it fourth hand. So I had reliable information. But I had enough decency. I wasn't going to leave in the middle of the church service, so I was going to wait till it's over. As soon as that service was over, I'm heading for the exit. And somebody grabbed me and said, "Hey, how are you? I hear you're new in town. Love you." And I thought, "What? Love me? You don't even know me." But they said, "We love you." And I thought, man, there's something different about these people. See, because the church I went to, you know, we were cool. As long as service was on, as soon as service was over, we were back to normal. You know, which means you look at me funny, we liable to throw down. You know, that's just We were Sunday go-to-meeting Christians. See? But we had people sitting in there, did all kind of crazy stuff. In other words, it didn't impact the way we lived. But we were religious. Now, I was saved. Had the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, but I was ignorant about many, many things. Well, I started to study the Bible and started to find out that a lot of these things that I was ignorant of were plainly spoken of and plainly taught, and now I'm understanding them. I'm like, why didn't anybody ever tell me this? How come they never taught this in my church? And I tell you what, Charles, I started to get halfway angry. Good Lord, I could have taken advantage of this 10 years ago, but nobody ever shared this with me. How come they didn't teach in my church? Either they didn't know, or they were afraid. Well, I know, and I ain't scared. Okay? Because I know the power that Jesus was talking about when he was referring to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He said, don't you leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Don't leave the city. And then he said later on, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So there is an empowering factor that the Holy Spirit brings. We know that the Spirit of God within is to develop your character, to make you more like Jesus. But the Holy Spirit upon is that dynamic of the Holy Spirit where He empowers you to serve in many instances beyond your ability. But we have to understand how He works. So what about this tongues thing? I'll call it spiritual language. What good is it? What benefit is it? I've heard people say, well, that, you know, the technical biblical term is glossolalia. Ah, glossolalia, that's just, you know, it's just foolishness, emotionalism. Really? Well, you know, that's not for us today in the New Testament. Is that right? The amazing thing is these men always just cherish their Bibles. But yet, the New Testament was written by men exclusively who were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. Every writer of the New Testament. Amen. Matthew was in that upper room. Amen. Mark, Luke, perhaps were not there. John was there. He was definitely there. What about the Apostle Paul? Paul wasn't in that upper room. But turn with me in your Bibles and I'll show you something about Paul the Apostle. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit and specifically about spiritual language. We need to be understanding as men, mature understanding of God's Word and His principles. I want you to see something. We know that in Acts chapter 9, Saul was headed to Damascus and was on his way there to find Christians, to arrest them. All of a sudden, he had an experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Saw light from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun, knocked him off his horse, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Verse 6. Jesus said, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. Now the men who stood with him heard a voice, but they didn't see anything. So Paul got up, and when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see. And so they had to lead him by the hand into Damascus, Syria. And he was there for 3 days. Notice verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now notice this expression. I want you to see this. It says, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. I'm struck by the response that Ananias had. Ananias is in his house, probably minding his own business, and Jesus shows up and appears right in the middle of the room. Calls his name, Ananias. Ananias says, "Lord, I'm over here." Most people I know would have turned and ran. Whoa, here's Jesus, you know. Or they start repenting and throwing stuff out of their house. It's just, no, Ananias said, "Lord, I'm here." Notice what he said. The Lord said to him, "Arise, go down to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. And he's seen in a vision you coming in, putting your hands on him, that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard many things of this man, how much evil he's done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to arrest everyone who calls on your name. But the Lord said, 'Go your way, for he's a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" Now, Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And notice what happened. "And putting his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to you in the way as you came, has sent me,'" notice this, "'that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.'" Now, this man was already born again. He'd met Jesus on the road to Damascus and declared him to be Lord. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" "Go into the city. It'll be told you what you need to do." Ananias laid hands on Paul. Paul received his sight and was filled with the Holy Ghost that day. "Well, Pastor Young, the Bible doesn't say that Paul spoke with tongues." Whoa, wait a minute. You don't know your Bible. You don't know your Bible. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of y'all." And this church had a lot of spiritual language going on in the public assembly. So we know that Paul the Apostle was filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. And he's the one who had revelation about the purpose of tongues, one of many. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. Amen? Amen. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Everybody say this with me. God's Word, is good, and written for me. Many times we have the idea that some of these scriptures are just written to hold the pages up or make the Bible thicker than it is. That's not the case. It's written for a purpose. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Notice verse 18. Paul wrote this, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you." And so he obviously spoke with other tongues after he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Turn with me now in your Bibles. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to come back to it. Let's back up in our Bibles. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And I want you to see something that Jesus said. Mark chapter 16. If you got it, say, "I got it." All right, notice what Jesus said, beginning with verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, these were not written by some guy down around the corner who didn't know what he's talking about. This was spoken by the Lord Jesus, one of the last things he said to his followers before he ascended. "Go into every man's world and preach the gospel." And he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." In the original language, it says, "These signs shall accompany the believing ones." What is one of those signs? They shall speak with new tongues.
Amen.
So, Jesus endorsed spiritual language and said this is what would happen or would follow believers. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Everybody say this again. God's word is good. And it was meant for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, let me begin with this. Here's something that you all need to know. The Bible was not written in chapter and verses. It wasn't written that way. The Bible was written in a narrative, in the form of a letter. Thus was the case with the letter to the Corinthian church, a Gentile church. It was written in the form of a letter from Paul the Apostle. It was divided into chapter and verse by the translators when they published the Bible to help clarify the meaning and make it easy to reference. But it wasn't written that way. You with me? I mean, Paul did not write, you know, or Jesus didn't say, all right, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go on to old world, preach the gospel, verse 16. And no, he just said it. And the translators divided it up by chapter and verse. And so in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, he begins in chapter 12 talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He also talks about the operation of the Holy Spirit. He also talks about ministry gifts in chapter 12. Then in chapter 13, he talks about agape, the love of God. Then in chapter 14, he talks about the proper exercise of spiritual gifts, including tongues. Now, it seems like it's a little disjointed and it's a little out of order, but it's not. Here's what we have to understand. The Holy Spirit, when He comes upon us, brings grace and brings gifts. But we have to know how to operate that grace and those gifts, and the only way to operate it is with the love of God.
Amen.
The only way to operate these things properly is with agape, the love of God. Because all of us have different passions and graces and gifts. Some people are anointed and graced to sing, to worship, to praise. Other people are graced and anointed to teach. Some people are graced and anointed to prophesy. Some people are graced and anointed, they love faith. Are you with me?
Yes.
But how can all of these graces and gifts operate together? Love.
Amen.
Love. And so if I walk in love, then I'll understand the grace that's on you. And I'll understand that you don't have to be like me. If I walk in love, then I'll appreciate the graces and gifts that God has placed upon you. And I won't try to jockey and position myself to make mine appear greater than yours. No, I appreciate what God has done in your life. Are you with me? That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it's just a bunch of noise. And so love has to be the compelling, motivating factor for all of the grace and gifts of God that He's given. But when love is not the motivation, now you have a mess. Amen? When you're not motivated by love, you have a mess. There have been times when the Spirit of God has come on me, and it doesn't happen often. The Spirit of God has come on me to prophesy. You know what I did? I didn't just grab a mic and jump up there and say, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, I've been in churches where people prophesied. One guy, man, I could tell, he prophesied mad. Now, I knew love wasn't working. He prophesying mad. And he almost stomped his foot. He said, "If you'll listen to my prophet," you know, and I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Something wrong with this picture. You know, I understand God does minister through people to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. But he was mad, prophesying mad. Well, guess what? That wasn't the Holy Ghost. That was him. And he was trying to use spiritual grace and gifts to justify his anger. We should never do anything out of anger. You with me? I mean, even if somebody, you know, you go outside the church and it's liable to happen. I'm not prophesying, but it's liable to happen. You can leave here today and go home and somebody cuss you out. It's liable to happen. But you need to walk in love. I don't care what happens to you. Well, Pastor Bill, they cussed me out. Well, what'd you do? Walk in love. Sometimes you got to turn around and walk away. Sometimes you got to do what I did the other day. Last time a guy cussed me out. Oh, bless you, brother. Oh, bless you. I did. Oh, bless you. I was goading him. I shouldn't have done that. But I did. I didn't cuss back at him. I said, oh, bless you. Bless you. He'd get madder and madder. And then 3 weeks later, I saw him at a funeral. I'm like, oh, Lord. You know. But he realized he was wrong. So, love is the catalyst, if you will, for the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself. And whenever you do things based on love, He's liable to show up and do anything. You with me? Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me show you this, and let's pay attention. I want you to understand this. What about spiritual language? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul the Apostle writing to born-again, Spirit-filled people. He said, follow after love, verse 1, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, in my Bible, the word gifts is italicized. That simply means it's not found in the original text, but was added by the translators to help clarify the meaning. The word spiritual is the Greek word pneumatikos. Pneumatikos just simply means things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. So Paul writes to this Gentile church and to us and said this, now concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Ignorance is not where you want to be. And then he said this, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks to men, to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. Verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Then he says, I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, Paul is referring to spiritual language, and he's referring to spiritual gifts. And so we need to be able to separate the two. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, in the Amplified Version. It says this, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Secret truths and hidden things. Listen, there are things that your spirit knows that your head will never figure out. There are things that your spirit knows that your head will never figure out. Well, some people say, well, I don't see any benefit to speaking with tongues. Well, the Bible says he that speaks with tongues doesn't speak to men, but speaks to God. Let me ask you a question. Is there value in speaking to God? Amen. I think so. Amen. He that speaks in an unknown tongue doesn't speak to men, but speaks to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things. There are things hidden from your understanding, but your spirit knows them, and the Holy Spirit who lives in you knows them. Are you with me? Then he goes on to say, he that prophesies edifies the church, but he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. Let me ask you a question. Is there benefit to edifying yourself? Yes, there is. That is a spiritual tool that the Lord has provided to every believer so that we can be edified. Now the word edify is a Greek word oikodomaio. And that simply means to build or to construct or to charge. Spiritual language builds, charges, and edifies you. And as the Amplified said, speaking with God, secret truths, and hidden things. Now, let's go a little further. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Watch this, beginning with verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What does that mean? If I pray in other tongues, my spirit is praying, but my mind is unfruitful. My mind doesn't understand what is being said. Now, that's where most people disconnect, because they're so proud and they operate in such little faith. They say, well, if I don't understand it, I'm not saying it. Is that right? You do a lot of things you don't understand. You get on a plane and fly to Miami, you don't understand the laws of aeronautics. All you know is you bought your ticket. When you get on that plane, do you examine the pilot's license and his qualifications? No, you're just like cattle. You just get on there and find your seat. Why? You have faith that the airline has done that for you. You know that if I leave on an airplane from Erie, I can land in Miami. You don't understand how to get from A to B. You just know you'll get there. Amen. Same thing is true when it comes to spiritual language. I mean, this morning I put my Pop-Tarts, my favorite breakfast, without the sugar, strawberry. Every morning, I don't know why, I'm addicted to them things. That and orange juice and my good cereal. But I put it in a toaster. All I know is I push the button. When it pops up, it's hot. Now, I understand a little bit about how they work. But when I put my tea in the microwave, I don't quite understand that. But I do know if I hit it in there for 3 minutes, when it comes out, it's piping hot. Do you understand how sound waves or microwaves can heat up your food? No, but you use it, don't you? So is the truth concerning spiritual language. You may not understand it, but use it. It works. It works. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, we could say this about that verse. If I don't pray in an unknown tongue, then my spirit doesn't pray. Two sides to every coin. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. If I don't pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit don't pray. Are you with me? Notice what he said in the next verse. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Notice verse 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, what does it mean to bless with the spirit in other tongues? How shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks, seeing that he understands not what you said? For you truly gave thanks well, but the others not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. Listen, spiritual language is a tool whereby you can speak hidden truths and secret things to God out of your spirit. Your mind doesn't understand it. It is a tool whereby you can edify or charge yourself. And it literally means like hooking up a battery to a charger. What do you do when you get down? Have you ever been in a position where just spiritually you just feel drained? Anybody ever been there? How do you overcome in that situation? What do you do? I spend time in prayer, but my understanding is limited. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. And there are times if you would just get away from everybody and spend time praying in other tongues. Well, Pastor Bill, I don't understand it. You don't have to. Let your spirit pray. Yes. Now, there are times he will give you the interpretation or the understanding, and you'll know what you're praying about. There are times you won't. Just trust him. Yes. My spirit prayeth. And allow him to charge your spirit man. Now, there's another verse in the Bible, Jude, Verse 20. It's the little book just before Revelation. The 20th verse says, "But you, beloved brethren, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God." Here's a little tip for you. You ever find somebody, like I said, liable to happen today, you leave out of here, and at some point you may encounter somebody who's mean and nasty to you. Stay in love. Stay in faith. Go off to the side. Pray in other tongues. You'll respond appropriately. It's very difficult to pray in other tongues and then cuss somebody out. Amen? It's very difficult. I won't say it's impossible, because I've seen some crazy stuff. But it's very difficult if you're sincere. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Spiritual language. Now, I want you to notice something. Paul said this. He said, "He that occupies the room of the unlearned." He's talking about the proper use of spiritual language. Number one. You should not do it around people who are unlearned in spiritual things. Now, I'm not just talking about somebody who's not saved. I'm talking about people who they may be saved, but they don't understand spiritual things. Are you with me? There are people like that. And so you don't go into the restaurant and bless the meal in other tongues. Paul said, "You did a good job. You gave thanks well, but the person sitting across from you was not edified." Because they were like me, first time I went to that church. Scared them. You with me? And so I don't pray in the Spirit around people where they can hear me. Because it's not for them, it's for me. You with me? Jesus said, "When you pray, enter into your closet and shut your door. And when you pray in secret, your Father will reward you openly." And so prayer is a private thing, not done publicly. Now, so we need to understand that and use that prayer language appropriately. I remember when I was going to Bible college, I had to work third shift. I chose to work third shift because it was easy for me in going to school. And, you know, I'd work for this great company, and I'd be starting my day at 10 o'clock. I'd go to work from 11 to 7. Well, there were a lot of times, you know, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30. The clubs closed at 2 o'clock. And so at 2:30, we'd get a rush of all the people who had the munchies. You know, so after the club crowd left, about 3 a.m., normally you didn't see anybody till 4:30. And so I'd spend a lot of time doing my job praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. And I never will forget, we had to dust the shelves and, you know, face all the stuff. I worked for a convenience store chain. And I'm dusting the shelves, and we sold gasoline, and there's a gas pump outside. So a woman pulled up for gas. I didn't hear her come in. And so I'm dusting the shelves. I'm right across from the register. She came in, parked her car, never saw her. She came in and stood right behind me. And I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost. I've been praying for an hour. Stood up, and I just sensed there's somebody back there. Turn around, looked at this woman. She's looking at me, eyes as big as saucers. "Well, Pastor Young, what'd you do?" I shifted gears right into English and said, "Yes, ma'am, how can I help you?" Didn't apologize. She snuck up on me. It wasn't my fault. You with me? I didn't do that for her benefit. I was doing that for me. I didn't care what she thought about it. But she was unlearned. Are you with me? Now, so I operate differently around people who understand spiritual things. I mean, if you come in my office on Sunday morning before I come out to teach, you'll probably hear me praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. Charles will walk in the office, I just keep praying in the Spirit. Why? He knows what I'm doing. Because he does the same thing. You with me? But if I have a first-time visitor come in my office, I'm going to stop and speak English. You with me? Because they understand English. I'm not going to scare them off. Y'all with me? Amen. We need to be mature in our understanding of spiritual things. Now, I'm going to show you something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul said this, "For verily you give thanks well," verse 17. "But the other's not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Then he says this, brethren, don't be children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. For in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak to this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, says the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that don't believe. Prophesying serves them that believe not. Serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now notice verse 23. Therefore the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and somebody comes in who's unlearned or unbelievers, they'll say, these folks are crazy. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, then he's convinced and judged of all. Now, we have to understand there are two dimensions of spiritual language. There is praying in other tongues. Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. And then there is the ministry gift called diverse kinds of tongues. Diverse kinds of tongues is an inspired utterance in a language you don't know that is for a public assembly. That gift in manifestation needs an interpretation so that people know what is said. You with me? But when it comes to praying in your own private prayer time, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, you don't need an interpretation. Just speak those hidden truths and secret things to God. Allow the Holy Spirit to charge you on the inside. That's for your personal edification. But when it comes to tongues in a public assembly, if you don't have the interpretation, then trust that God will have somebody there with the interpretation. Are you with me? But Paul said, in a public assembly, I'd rather that somebody prophesy. That's an inspired utterance in a language that you know. You don't need an interpretation because everybody understands it. So there's a difference between tongues, the prayer gift, and tongues, the ministry gift. There are very few people who are anointed with tongues, the ministry gift. But all of us, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, can speak with other tongues and pray in the Spirit. You with me? For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. That gift is one that we should all exercise every day. You with me? Now, I want to show you something here. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at two more passages. Romans chapter 8. Oh, we're making good time. Romans chapter 8. Excuse me. And we'll look at verse 26. Romans 8:26 says this, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Amplified renders that verse this way. So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. For we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Amen. In other words, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray the perfect prayer. Now, he said the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. The word infirmities means inability to produce results or weakness. Now, when you get a call from the other side of the country that one of your family members is desperately ill or in trouble or is missing or hasn't been seen for days, what do? You don't know what to pray for as you should, but the Holy Spirit does. Amen. And if you'll pray in other tongues, He'll help you to pray the perfect prayer. Amen. For that situation. Amen. Been there many times. but he helps you to pray. Doesn't mean he does your praying for you. That means he helps you do it. If I were to ask Brother Heidelberg to help me lift this Bible, then that simply means both of us grab the Bible and lift it up. If I ask him to help me and I've got it like this, you know, big help you are, you know. Who's lifting the load? I am. And if he has the Bible and we're helping each other, who's lifting the load? He is. The Holy Spirit's not going to do your praying for you. But both of you together, take hold together against that situation and get the job done.
Amen.
That's how he helps our weaknesses. And how does he do it? With unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. That means in a language that you don't understand.
Right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Now let's look at one last passage. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28. The Bible has a lot to say about spiritual language. A whole lot to say about it. Isaiah chapter 28. We'll close with this. There have been times in life when I was challenged, either with circumstances or situations, and I know enough to depend on the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because He'll help me to pray. In situations where I didn't know which way to turn or what to do, I'd spend time praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
I didn't make a public thing about it. I didn't bother other people with it. Are you with me? But I just spent that time praying in the Spirit. And I could do it at home. I could do it in my car. I could do it on my job. Normally, I'll just take a walk and start praying. And I know He's there to help me.
Amen.
Take hold together against whatever the situation is.
Amen.
But there's another benefit to praying in the Spirit that is described here that we need to take advantage of. And Paul quoted it and mentioned it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Notice Isaiah 28, verses 9. And we'll go through verse 13. Follow along with me. It says this, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine or teaching? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts." Now, Peter uses an illustration in his epistle. You know, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so, the preeminent way that God leads us and guides us is by his word.
Amen.
We'll talk about prophecy and other vocal gifts in another lesson. But the primary way we are led in life is by God's Word.
Amen.
We need to live our lives by the Word.
Amen.
I don't care who prophesies what. If it's not in line with the Word, forget about it.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
Forget about it. And I've had people wanting to pray and prophesy the craziest stuff. But we need to live our lives by the Word. So, who does God teach knowledge to? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, those who spend time in the Word. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, notice this, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing," yet they would not hear. You want to be rested in your mind and in your spirit? Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You want to be refreshed? You ever find yourself where you're literally frayed on both ends and just frustrated to no end? You need to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's right.
Because He will refresh you. He will put you at ease.
Amen.
He will give you rest.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Notice verse 12. To whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing," yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. That referring to the enemy. Now, I have learned more biblical truth, not because I went to Bible college. That was a great aid and a great assistance, if you will. But I've learned more from the Lord just by studying His Word and praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
And there are times, Scripture will almost jump off the page and leap it, and I'll see things that I'd never seen before. Now, it was there the whole time. It was there the whole time. I just didn't see it. But insight will come. A little here, a little there. A little here, a little there. Study the Word. Meditate in the Word. Pray in the Spirit. Insight comes. Here a little, there a little. And you gain a broad understanding of the Scripture. And, as I said on Wednesday night, you're taking God's Word, the Logos, and you're putting it in your suitcase, if you will. And the more Logos you have in your suitcase, when it's needed, the Holy Spirit will pull that Logos out of that suitcase and it becomes Rhema to you.
Amen.
Jesus said it like this: when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will bring to your remembrance everything that I've said to you. He'll bring to your remembrance everything that I've said to you. Listen, you can't remember something you've never heard. You can't remember something you've never heard. So if your suitcase is empty, He's got nothing to work with. Now, understand His grace and His mercy. He'll help you. But we need to pack ourselves full of the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit can draw that Word up when we need it. And it can be appropriate. Amen? What about tongues? It's for you and your children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What's the purpose? Number one, to speak to God, secret truths and hidden things. Number two, to edify yourself, charge yourself up. Number three, it'll help you keep walking in the love of God. Number four, it's a way to find rest for your soul. Number five, it's a place where you can go to be refreshed. Amen? And there are many other benefits that we could talk about, but that's all my time I have today. Amen? Did you learn anything?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please?